Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. We have today with us a guest who's bringing part two on his new book. Really, it's a two-volume series called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, but Josh McDowell has co-authored with his son, Sean, to bring a totally new version out to the world. It's just coming out just recently, October 3rd, and we hope you're going to read it. So, Josh, thanks for coming back on and what we're calling Evidence Part Two.
All right. Well, let me tell you, every time I can come on with you, I'll move heaven and earth to do that.
You're kind. So if we could this time, we've talked some about the content, and we're going to do some more of that to draw the readers into this wonderful series. But let's go back a little bit to give them some background. Josh, I was reading some of the introductory parts, and would you mind talking a little about your story, how you came to faith in Christ?
Well, when I left for the university, I was angry, I was hurt, I was mad for mainly two things. One, my father was a town alcoholic. I hardly ever knew him sober until I was 20 years old. And when he wasn't trying to kill my mother, I literally was trying to kill him. And it just left a lot of bitterness in my life and hurt. I ended up leading him to Christ after I came to Christ. And then from 6 to 13 years of age, for 7 years on the farm, I was homosexually raped every week.
Wow.
For 7 years by a man by the name of Wayne Bailey. And my folks never stopped it. And so when I got to the university, I was hurt, I was angry, I was mad, I was bitter. And so when I met these Christians at the university, I just let them have it. And they just came back and challenged me to intellectually examine the scriptures and the deity of Christ, which I thought was a joke. And so I ended up doing it, and ended up trusting Christ as Savior and Lord to end the second year in the university. Then I went on to write Evidence for the next 13 years.
When you wrote this in the 70s and beyond, it was groundbreaking because this is not the kind of thing publishers are looking for. Explain how that journey went. As you finally one Friday put the last piece on the text, did you feel that maybe this is going to go nowhere?
No, I knew it was going to go. No publisher would touch it. They said I broke every rule of writing. I had large paragraphs, quotes, because I didn't want people taking truth out of context. So I always gave the context to any quote, and nobody else does that, that I know of. And I changed footnoting, everything. I changed the outlining, how you outline everything. And they said it won't go, so it was kind of like self-publishing it. And it came out on a Friday. By Monday, it was a runaway bestseller in the top 10 for about 50 months. And the reason is, it wouldn't do that today. Because there's so many great books out today that are not the same, but a little similar, with Ravi Zacharias and Lee Strobel. Thank God for those guys, Frank Turrett, my son Sean, and others. But at that time, there was no other resource out like it. And so it became the go-to book. And it's done about 6 million copies around the world in about 45 languages. That's how it developed. And that came out of my story. And I knew people were looking for evidence that was documented. That was the key. It was documented that they could trust.
In the new evidence, you partner with Sean to bring some enhancements around how everything has changed in some manner in our culture and the worldview here in the Western world. From the 70s now to 2017, talk about the changes.
Some of the questions that I was dealing with 35 years ago, about half of them have changed now. For example, we have a whole chapter on truth. What is truth? Can you know truth? Is it knowable? You see, 35 years ago, that wasn't a question. Today, it's huge. Then we have a chapter on intellectual skepticism because of the internet has introduced, because the abundance of data has introduced intellectual skepticism right in the lives of believers. Then we have a brand new chapter. I think it's the best out of anything out there on it. is Christianity a copycat religion? Everybody says, and this is a big issue today, is, well, it was Christianity copied other religions, the resurrection, Christmas, the virgin birth, everything. And what Sean and I did is document and show historically, no, the others copied Christianity. Christianity did not copy them. And that's clear in history if you take time to study it. So we documented so Christians could understand that. So those are some of the chapters we had to add. And then some things in the Old Testament on the crossing the Red Sea to the patriarchs and all, some historical evidence leading up to that because questions are brought up by the Internet.
Archaeology has come to this place, amazingly, with some Jewish scholars in Israel claiming that there was no Exodus. Basically, there was no ancient Israel, that it's all kind of a hoax leading up to the modern story. And then, yeah, there's a Jerusalem Israel today. But so what you're saying is there's even evidence for that, for the Exodus, for, I noticed there are chapters on kind of each stage of the journey as they came into the Promised Land and conquered.
The thing that archaeology is doing, archaeology doesn't prove the Bible is true. It gives intelligent evidence that it is reasonable and true. With so many of the discoveries they've made now, which they weren't looking for, of the dating of artifacts and everything back with names on them that they never had before. And this is why we try to document it all. In fact, there's so much of it, most of it, I can't even recall in my mind there's so much of it to do that. But it's the same thing, even more than the Old Testament with that and the Exodus and all, is the New Testament. The evidence for the New Testament has been like a tsunami. Bill, it's been an onslaught of data. For example, and this is all documented in the revised Evidence That Demands a Verdict. When I first came out with evidence, or in fact, 10 years ago when I revised it to what was called the New Evidence That Demands a Verdict, now we've gone back to just evidence. With the new evidence, I was able to document 24,633 manuscripts and scrolls of the Bible, which was incredible, far more than any other literature ever in history. Well, now I can document, and it's documented there, 66,462, which is, it's staggering. And as a result, with a lot of the new evidence there, it will help mom and dad to be able to have greater confidence to share with their children, to pass their faith on to their children.
So, Josh, as you have been thinking and working and researching for these, 40-plus years on this topic, and written many other books all surrounding the topic with, I think your evidence is really a centerpiece because it's so rich and it's impacted the world so greatly. What do you find is the greatest evidence for this God of the Bible causing us to believe in Him?
The greatest evidence.
Yeah, don't tell me you've never been asked that.
Oh, I have.
All right.
And I think some people keep thinking it's so cheesy, my answer.
Well, I know what my answer would be.
But I think the greatest evidence is a personal transformed life. I think my life, my testimony, is probably the strongest evidence in Evidence That Demands a Verdict. By far. There's all kinds of faiths you believe, but when it comes to an inward transformation, that's what happens when you come to know Jesus.
Wow.
And this is why I encourage everyone, Bill, work on your testimony. First time I shared my testimony, I worked 60 hours on it. I had somebody ask me probably about 100 different questions, had a tape recorder going. Then I had it all typed out. I broke it down to what was my life like before I came to Christ, how I came to Christ, and my life after I came to Christ. That's your testimony. Anybody listening here can do that. What was your life like before you came to Christ? How'd you come to Christ? What's your life like afterwards? Every single person's testimony is relevant because a lot of people wouldn't identify with mine, like some probably wouldn't identify with yours, Bill. And so I say to Christians, evidence is not the gospel. It's the support of the gospel. You don't go out and take evidence to man's averting, just start sharing with people. What evidence does is gives you the greater courage and understanding and confidence to share your faith. Then when they do have a legitimate question, you're able to answer it. It's like with Tom Landry, former coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I used to wonder, how in the world could he answer these questions about his faith and all? And I was sharing that with his wife, and she said, oh, that's very easy. Once evidence came out, every night, even the night before the Super Bowl, whatever, he would read his Bible, and then for 15 minutes, he would read evidence that demands a verdict. And I thought, now that is why he can so handle himself with Q&A. So that's the value of the revised evidence that demands a verdict. And boy, I just think it's a great book.
You're listening to Beyond Words Radio with William P. Campbell. We'll be back right after this.
Scripture Awakening. Awakening the world to the power of God's Word. Read B90. Study B next. And live beyond. Read B90. Bible in 90 Days provides a panoramic view of the sweeping story of God's Word. Almost a 250,000 people worldwide have read through the Bible from cover to cover using Bible in 90 Days. Study B Next. B Next is a natural next step after reading B90. B Next Bible studies are available in digital and print formats, and now the corresponding Amazing Journey video series. Live Beyond. Beyond Words radio satellite broadcast and podcast feature insightful interviews from a wide range of Christian leaders that will both inform and inspire. Move beyond just talking about your faith to living it.
Today's broadcast has been sponsored by Lester Flooring. And now here is your host, William P. Campbell.
So that's the value of the revised evidence that demands a verdict. And boy, I just think it's a great book. It's one of the better that I've ever had been a part of, because it's going to reinforce people's faith, answer their questions, and give them greater courage to share and to interact with their children. We had 16 scholars, 30 graduate students work for almost 3 years on this project, because I wanted to make sure everything was accurate, it was honest, it was true, and it was documented. And I think we've done that, that there's a volume now that people can go to and get so much of the data they need and want in one place and trust it.
And so,
I think trust is a big word, Bill.
It really is. If I were to answer that question, the first thing that came to my mind, and I love your answer, by the way, it's really the best answer, but what came to my mind was the greatest evidence is not one piece, but it's the grand accumulation of everything. Of the reality around us. And that's what evidence does. It gives us a bucket full of all of these topics. And we can't possibly in this interview cover all the topics. But if you're listening and you've not yet even read one of the older versions, much less this new volume that's come out, you really need to. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and you don't know someone whose life has been changed, start reading this book and then start looking around, because there's...
Can I tell them where they can go to get it?
Yes, do, please.
Just go to readevidence.com, and it's discounted down for you, and you can have it delivered right away.
Excellent.
Or you can go to any Christian bookstore and secular stores and everything else will probably have it.
Okay, let me flip the question around. What is the greatest challenge we face as Christians as we search for evidence? Where's the dark hole that's hard to fill in? Is there anything like that?
Yes. Before anyone in today's culture, Bill, ask, is Christianity true? They have a haunting question of background. Is it good? Is it good? If it's not good, they could care less how much evidence you have.
Yeah.
And this is often where we have kind of fallen down a little bit as believers. I wish somebody could come along, and I've thought about doing it, taking what happened in Port Arthur, Houston, Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, all these fires, everything, and show the incredible, incredible contribution of the church. It is marvelous, and nobody's documenting it at all. And I just wish somebody would. I just don't have time to do it right now.
Yeah.
But it'd be one of the best apologetics. Is Christianity is good, and it is true. So I would say that's probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I notice you've got a section giving answer to Bart Ehrman, and to me he's a sad case of a Christian who's kind of lost his faith. And reading the other day about his story, he claims the real reason is a problem of evil. How can there be evil in the world? So I love your answer, Josh. Not just is it true, but is it good? Is God good, essentially? And like you said, it's not just these recent incidences of Christians diving in more than the world, more than the government, doing so much to help. But this has been the story of Christianity from the day Christ came.
Well, you look at the Red Cross, one of the greatest humanitarian efforts in history. The Red Cross started by Christians.
Educational systems, hospitals. There are a lot of good books out on this. And anyway, so coming back to the evidence, what you've done here is critical because this is a day, as you rightly say, in which relativism has taken over the culture. The average Christian struggles to believe there isn't such a thing as absolute truth. What do you say to someone who's listening right now and says, Josh, that may be good for you, but I'm not interested because it doesn't work for me? It becomes more of an emotional thing.
Oh, there's so many different approaches to that. One, I usually start out by asking them, and this is where our chapter on truth really helps someone. I will ask him, well, how do you define truth? What is truth to you? And boy, people stumble around. It's incredible. Even professors in the university will stumble around. And I'll say, well, what would show you that something is true? And back them in the corner. And what I have found, Bill, most of the time, I can take their definition of truth and what will show them that something is true and show them that Christianity is true. And I just start back and ask them to define truth. Anybody that reads the chapter on truth and evidence will have the confidence to do that.
Excellent.
But here's what's more important. I had finished speaking at the National Apologetics Conference in Charlotte. I had to get to the airport, so I walked down the front of the auditorium where everybody was seated, and I walked out to the right, and I got almost to the door. This university student came running up to me in front of everyone, and he said, Dr. McDowell, why does truth matter? Why does truth even matter? And I said to him, Bill, do you want the false answer, or do you want the truthful answer? And he looked at me. I don't think he got it. Every question you ever ask, you want a truthful answer. In other words, you want an answer that coincides with what is reality. Every time you turn on your GPS, you want a truthful answer on how you get to your destination. Every time you go to the doctor and he comes in, you ask the doctor, well, what did my blood test show? Do you want a false answer or a true answer? Everybody wants a true answer. Is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and your eternal destiny dependent on him? Now, do you want a false answer or do you want a truthful answer? Everyone would say, I want a truthful answer.
That's really helpful. So as you have been on hundreds of interviews and speaking engagements in university campuses around the world, give a story of one that you can't help but retell because it so, I guess, embraces the reality of the Bible, that the fact that evidence really needs to be listened to.
Several weeks ago, Sean and I were speaking somewhere together, my son, and this young lady, probably about 30, came in, 28, 30, came into the green room and said, I've always wanted to meet you because I wanted to share something with you. In college, we had to write a research paper for English class. It had to have documentation, resources, etc. And it had to be 10, 15 pages, something like that. So she said, I chose the New Testament and I used your book, Evidence and Demands a Verdict, with all the documentation. She said, I handed the paper in. When the professor handed the paper back, she had given me an A. But all the way through it, she circled red. Can you really believe that? Well, is that really true in all? And yet all the documentation was there. But she said, the quality of the paper, I give you an A. About 4 years later, that professor came to Christ. And it all started because one student had the courage to take evidence and man's a verdict. This is what parents need to encourage their children to do in high school and college, because it's all documented. It's authoritative for them. And I wish everyone this Christmas would get their child their own personal copy of Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Excellent.
For a high school and college. I just think it'd be one of the most meaningful gifts parents could give their kids. That's how I'd answer that question on truth. And then I always, Bill, no matter what the question is or anything, I always go back to my testimony. You know why? A man with an argument is always at the mercy of a man with an experience.
Hmm.
The Christian should have the argument and the experience. That's why over the years I've done over 250 debates, is because we have the argument that is true and we have the experience that's changed our lives.
Beautiful. As we close out here, what is a final word you want to give people to encourage them not just to read the book, and you need to give us again the address for that, but to press on in their lives and be witnesses for Christ?
Get to know why you believe what you believe. That's it, Bill. People know what they believe, but they're hesitant on why they believe it. And when you're hesitant on why you believe it, you're not as bold in your witness for Christ, and usually not as successful. And boy, that was at the forefront of my mind with every word I wrote in Evidence That Demands a Verdict, was to help believers, first of all, to understand the why of their faith, so they can share with people the what of their faith.
Excellent.
And they can go to Read Evidence, R-E-A-D, that's easy, readevidence.com. And you can order the book right there. And I would encourage you, order one for each one of your children and do it as a Christmas gift. I guarantee you, they will deeply appreciate it and it will help them in their walk with Christ. Thank you, Bill.
Josh, thank you for coming on for this second interview, and blessings on you as you continue to travel and minister and on this excellent resource that you've made available to the world.
Well, you take care of my brother.
And you too.
And let's do it again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.